We'll send you a free copy of the new Christmas Archbook, O Bethlehem. All you have to do is leave your answer to the question, Issues Etc., What Does This Mean?, on the Issues Etc. comment line before Friday, November 20th, 618-223-8382. Be sure to give us your first name and tell us where you're from. 618-223-8382. Issues Etc., What Does This Mean? 618-223-8382.
Do you realize that Starbucks wanted to take Christ and Christmas off of their brand new cups? That's why they're just plain red. In fact, do you realize that Starbucks isn't allowed to say Merry Christmas to customers? Well, I decided instead of simply boycotting, well, why don't we just start a movement? So when I went in and I asked for my coffee, they asked for my name, and I told them my name is Merry Christmas. So guess what, Starbucks? I tricked you into putting Merry Christmas on your cup.
That's former Pastor Joshua Feierstein speaking in a YouTube video that was part of the cause of the Red Cup debacle. I don't know if there ever was really anything more than a tempest in a teapot or a coffee cup, as the case may be. But it certainly dominated social media for about, well, in terms of social media, an eternity, 3 or 4 days, and had more Christians objecting to those who objected to the cups than it had Christians objecting to the cups themselves. It's a strange twist of events there. The media's coverage of it was, well, let's just call it sloppy. We'll be talking about it a little bit here in the first half hour of Issues Etc., and the media coverage of the alleged war on Christmas. Terry Mattingly will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, November the 13th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Terry Mattingly in the first half hour of the program, Katie Schuerman joins us. She is author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, The Choir Immortal. We'll talk with her about Christian fiction, good, bad, and ugly. Pastor Chris Roseborough joins us in hour two for our regular feature, This Week in Pop American Christianity. We're going to talk about some evangelical leaders backtracking on their end-of-the-world predictions, and also a little bit more of that dream destiny teaching that Chris has been talking about lately. That's all in This Week in Pop American Christianity, and hour two of Issues Etc. And since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got 4 soundbites to play for you. We will play them for you in order. All you have to do is listen, and then you give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. 877-623-MYIE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, and your votes will decide which one will be Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. That's coming up in the last 20 minutes of the program. Terry Mattingly is a regular guest. He joins us to talk about media coverage of various stories. Today, it's the alleged war on Christmas and the Starbucks Red Cup controversy. Senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Glad to be here.
Did Starbucks fire the first shot in the Christmas wars this year?
I don't think I've ever seen anything as silly as this in a long, long, long time. The simple fact of the matter is that the first shot in this battle really was fired by people who wanted clicks on stories about people fighting about Christmas. And that is both some secular journalists who jumped all over this story, and first and foremost, I think the main credit has to go to the evangelical former pastor who created the YouTube sensation. It's really amazing. There's a graphic that a friend of mine sent out, that the great graphic novelist Douglas TaNaple, who's one of the funniest men on earth and is currently involved in rebooting the whole VeggieTales project. TaNaple sent out a graphic that I thought said it all. And the graphic is a large red dot. It is totally red. There's nothing else there, just red. And above it, it says, "People in my news feed who are upset about the Starbucks Red Cup." Green. "People in my news feed who are upset about people who are upset about the Starbucks Red Cup." Red. In other words, I mean, here is someone who makes a lot of fun of religion is very into the arguments and battles about religion and public life. And he couldn't find anyone who was actually upset about the Starbucks cup except this guy on YouTube. But the guy on YouTube became the perfect living, breathing symbol incarnate of the media's attitude about Christians who are supposedly upset about what's happening to Christmas, right? I mean, people not being able to say Merry Christmas at your local Walmart and all these other things that are tearing American society apart. And these annual ratings-producing Fox News-esque Christmas war stories. Now, I want listeners to know that there are some serious stories in here that involve, you know, things related to church-state issues involving public life, whether or not you can sing Johann Sebastian Bach concertos, you know, in Christmas concerts, or, in holiday concerts or solstice concerts. There's a lot of stuff there, and the law is rather intricate and, frankly, at times very depressing. I think you and I have discussed the fact that I don't think Christians should consider it a plus that we can now go to court and argue that nativity scenes are a secular symbol. I mean, is that a good thing for the church? I mean, so you got all of this stuff, and so the first shot in the battle is these stupid, plain red cups. And, of course, this the immediate tip-ins, Stephen Colbert went crazy with this just last night. I believe it was last night or the night before. Colbert did this hysterical piece that's gone viral in which he talks about all those great Christian symbols like snowmen and snowflakes and green trees, you know, all that great Christian symbolism. What are we talking about here, really?
So a couple questions here. What did the flap say about the media and the way that it covers the perennial war on Christmas story?
Well, first of all, that they realize it's extremely popular to do stories about this, and that not only are there apparently some Christians out there who like to read stories about this, there may be even more secular people who now like to laugh at the Christians who are upset about this. So this, you win both ways. So whether or not, in this case, there actually are any Christians who are upset at Starbucks, it doesn't matter because we all know that Christians should be upset at them because Christians are stupid people who are upset about those kinds of things. And thus, we get to put that in our edgy social media stuff. So, I mean, it's a Zen thing, right? It's almost circular and perfect.
What does it say about Christians who responded not by being upset with Starbucks, but as in the graphic that you talked about, Christians that responded by being upset that someone said they were upset about Starbucks?
I don't know. I mean, this gets us into several issues that you and I have talked about. First of all, when is Christmas? I responded to the graphic by putting a post out on Facebook and on Twitter that said, is it okay for me to be upset that millions of Christians think it's Christmas and we haven't even got to Nativity Lent yet? I mean, we're not only steamrolling over the penitential season of Advent in the West or Nativity Lent in the East, we're not only steamrolling the second most important penitential season. Christians, apparently, millions of Christians in America honestly seem to think Christmas starts like 2 weeks before Halloween. And that makes me extremely upset and disappointed and sad and a lot of other emotions that leap to mind. And in some ways, I think that's actually the story here. The story isn't so much that there is a war on Christmas being waged by the secular world, although there might be some elements of that out there somewhere, mainly in legal battles. But as Molly Ziegler Hemingway said in a piece last year, what's infinitely more important is the war on Advent that's being waged at both the shopping mall and in thousands of churches. That's, in many ways, the more interesting story. The season being turned upside down to where it's Christmas when it isn't Christmas, and then we finally get to Christmas, it's no longer Christmas. And that's intriguing.
So talk a little bit more about the war on Advent. You said Nativity, Lent, that they're not necessarily interchangeable terms, but they kind of reflect the same kind of season of preparation that historic creedal Christianity observes and intentionally observes, both in anticipation of but separate from the Nativity.
Right. I write about this every 2 or 3 years in my column. The simple fact of the matter is that the U.S. economy is based essentially on Christmas and the Pentagon, and you've got to have Christmas be as big as possible or it's bad for the economy. And so the American powers that be throughout the 20th century did everything they could to build up what I refer to as shopping mall Christmas, which used to begin, you know, in everything but a hail of bullets on Black Friday, you know, with everybody going out to beat each other to get in place to be able to get a better buy on large screen TVs and other sacred acts like that. But even that is now old-fashioned, right? I mean, we're clearly into Christmas now, and we're, you know, weeks before Thanksgiving. I first saw the first full-scale, no way about, around it, this was a Christmas ad. The first one of those, I always mark it on my calendar, watching football, and I saw an ad 3 weeks before Halloween that was definitely a Christmas ad. In content, theme, color scheme, you know, the whole nine yards, it was a shopping mall Christmas ad. All the secular symbols were there, all the sacred rituals. By the way, Nativity, Lent, and Advent really are the same season. They're just, they had different names, you know, in the traditions of the East and the West. So, I mean, it's the same concept. Christmas is the generally considered to be the second most important holy day in Christianity after Easter. And thus, if Easter is preceded by the longest period of Lenten penitential preparation, otherwise Great and Holy Lent, the second longest period of penance and repentance and reflection is Advent or Nativity Lent, since Christmas is number two. But what Christmas is a 12-day party. There is nothing in Christianity bigger in terms of sustained celebration than Christmas. But as you and I have discussed before, the current American shopping mall Christmas basically says Christmas is all the time up to December 25. On the morning of December 25, there's a massive explosion of wrapping paper in your living room, and then everybody collapses exhausted and moves straight to the National Football League playoffs. And the American liturgical calendar rolls on. Nobody has any time or energy for actual Christmas as it was celebrated for centuries by Christians around the world. I like to point out to people who think I'm making this up that all they have to do is even look at Dickens and look at A Christmas Carol, in the sense that the ghost of Christmas future, I believe that's the correct ghost, the ghost of Christmas future takes him to a vision of a 12th night party. And the 12th night party, of course, is the culmination of the entire season, and it's the 12th night after December 25. Now, I ask you an honest question. Have you been to a 12th night party lately?
No. I mean, the only depiction I have seen is, in fact, A Christmas Carol.
Right. Now, stop and think about it. If you were the pastor of a Lutheran church in suburban America, and you were trying to schedule a Christmas party at a time when your people would actually have space on their calendars, don't you think it would actually be easier to put the Christmas party 12 days after Christmas than during the shopping mall Christmas stampede of the weeks leading up to December 25th?
Absolutely.
So why aren't we trying this?
Well, when we come back, I'd like Terry to expand a little bit more on something you said earlier about the war on Advent, not only in the culture, but also in the church. We'll be right back.
Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, email, Google+. Simple ways that you can share Issues Etc. programs with your friends, relatives, and fellow parishioners. Just go to Listen on Demand Archives at issuesetc.org and look for the share feature images posted beneath each audio segment. You're only one click away from telling someone about Issues Etc. The Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org and look for Share This.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Garfield, New Jersey. Grace Lutheran, Naples, Florida. St. John's Lutheran, Chicago, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Beverly Hills, California. Epiphany Lutheran, Door, Michigan. The Good Shepherd Lutheran, Inglewood, California. St. John's Lutheran, Sayville, New York. Apostles Lutheran, Melrose Park, Illinois. Christ Our Savior Lutheran, Elizabeth, Colorado. Grace Lutheran, Strasburg, Illinois. And Bethel Lutheran, Thunder Bay, Ontario, Canada. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about media coverage of the war on Christmas. Terry Mattingly is our guest, author of the Weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate and senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. Terry, before the break, you were talking about something I'd like you to expand on a little bit more, and that is you spoke about the war on Advent and Christmas, not only in the culture, but also in the church.
In the church. When do most churches now have their Christmas concerts? When I was growing up Southern Baptist in Texas, the Christmas concert was always the Sunday before Christmas. In other words, you held it off as long as you could, and then you did your big Christmas production. You hired the trumpets to come in and play the top parts, and you did your big show, and it was as close to Christmas as you could get it, which was kind of a tacit nod of the cap to the actual Christian calendar. Observed, you know, for centuries and centuries and centuries. You can still see this in some old Hollywood movies. My favorite is the Bishop's Wife with Cary Grant and David Niven, and wonderful old film. And this is from probably 1930-ish something, black and white, wonderful stuff. And in this movie, you can tell it kind of begins with the celebration of the last Sunday of Advent, at which point everybody then proceeds out into the street to begin their Christmas shopping, to get their tree, to put it up, and to start getting ready for Christmas. Because Advent, at the liturgical level, Advent has now ended. So it's now time to get ready to party. As recently as 70, 80 years ago in American life, this pattern still existed, at the very least in our churches. But somewhere along the line, our churches even gave up and moved from the Christian calendar to the mall calendar. And that's what Molly calls the war on Advent. And I think that's a wonderful term for it. And I think there are some valid news stories in that sad reality that people could be covering. I also think that the churches should frankly debate this. Christmas has turned into such an exhausting, well, shopping mall Christmas has turned us into such an exhausting process, and people's calendars get so jammed. I have seen churches holding their Christmas concerts and their major Christmas events as early as like December the 3rd, to like December 10th or something, because they know that after that, their people are simply going to be too busy to be able to come to anything that the church stages. And you're still 2 weeks away from December 25th. Have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's all front-loaded. I got a question about kind of the newsroom angle on this. If I were to walk into the average newsroom, major media market, and ask, what's Advent, how many blank stares would I get?
Oh, constant. I mean, if you're going to get blank stares in your typical church today, you're really going to get it in newsrooms. In particular, the story I always try to get people to look at is to try to find something. You're always looking for something you could photograph, something you could explain, something cultural, something a little colorful and edgy. And to me, the way to go on this story is to try to find out what has happened in your community, in the Latino community, when it comes to the tradition of La Posadas, which was the staging of a parade following Mary and Joseph and the Christ child on a donkey looking for shelter. And the whole point was that you did this on Christmas, and then you did this every night after Christmas for 12 days, and the parade keeps getting longer and longer, which means you have more and more parties until you get to the parade, because the parade goes from like house to house. It's like a progressive dinner with the festivities, and every night it gets, you know, longer and longer, and finally on the 12th night they reach the end of it, and the donkey gets hay, and everybody settles in, and it's now time. It's the 12th night. I noticed a decade ago when I lived in South Florida that in a pretty intense Latino culture, which would be South Florida, where you've got like five or six different types of Spanish language cultures going on among Catholics, that they had finally given up and moved La Posadas to before Christmas. And that, to me, was one of the last holdouts we had in American life with the act, you know, the real calendar being used. It'd be very interesting to see. I mean, if we're going to cover Day of the Dead and lots of other colorful ethnic traditions related to various seasons and holidays, if reporters are always looking for that new, fresh angle, I would suggest they go out there and try to find out what happened to La Posadas and see if it's still alive at all in Latino communities within their circulation areas.
With about a minute here, Terry, what advice can you give to reporters when they're covering the inevitable War on Christmas story?
First of all, don't assume that people are upset unless there is plenty of evidence that they're actually upset. Try to follow this into something more than social media. To me, there's some parallels here with the evangelicals are cheering for Donald Trump story. It seemed like such a great story that nobody wanted to actually check out if there were any evangelical leaders, groups, or political networks that actually were for Donald Trump. It's like the story was too funny and weird and silly for it not to be printed, even though there was no evidence that it was really that big of a story. Now the polls continue to show over and over that evangelicals are not that interested in Donald Trump. They're interested in other people, and for some perfectly interesting and valid reasons. And that the more intense people are about going to church, the less they were interested in Trump. The same sort of thing I think you would probably find is true with the Christmas wars, that the people who are most into caring about the actual message of Christmas are probably the people who are not that upset about whatever Starbucks is choosing to put on their little red cups.
Terry Mattingly is Senior Fellow for Media and Religion at the King's College in New York City, author of the weekly On Religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and founder and editor of GetReligion.org. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here again.
In the next hour of Issues Etc., we're going to take up the subject of Christian fiction with the author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for November, actually is a novel called The Choir Immortal. Katie Schuerman will be our guest, and Pastor Chris Roseborough will join us. We're going to be talking with Chris Roseborough about This Week in Pop American Christianity. Evangelical leaders are backtracking on their Four Moons But Four Blood Moons and Shemitah End Times Predictions. We'll also talk a little bit more about Dream Destiny and the teaching, and then Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Folks, Issues Etc. 24 begins just 1 week from today. This is a live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc. from 9 in the morning Central on Friday, November the 20th, through 9 in the morning Central on Saturday, November the 21st. This year's theme is the Gospel of John. We'll go all the way through the Gospel of John in 24 hours. Now, here's a way that you can help us in advance of Issues Etc. 24. Simply call the Issues Etc. comment line 618-223-8382 before Friday, November the 20th, and leave your answer to the question, Issues Etc., what does this mean? Don't worry about making mistakes. We will edit all the comments. Now, everyone who calls and leaves their answer to that question, Issues Etc., what does this mean, will receive the brand new Christmas Arch book, O Bethlehem, and the listener with the best comment and question there will receive a limited edition Here I Stand long sleeve t-shirt, and we'll be playing your answers to that question, Issues Etc., what does this mean, during Issues Etc. 24, the live 24-hour broadcast of Issues Etc., Friday, November the 20th through Saturday, November the 21st. The Issues Etc. comment line, take some time this weekend and do this. Answer the question on the comment line, Issues Etc., what does this mean? 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382. Standing firm in a hostile world is the theme of the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th. This confessional Lutheran conference features Issues Etc. guests Adam Francisco, David J. Weber, Joe Abrahamson, attorney Mark Stern, and Professor Alan Quist. If you're in Texas or would like some warmer weather in February, check out the San Antonio Biblical Worldview Conference, February 5th and 6th at faithlutheransa.org. FaithLutheranSA.org.
At Zion Lutheran Church, Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, we've adopted the motto, A Changeless Christ for a Changing World. While many congregations try to market a message that appeals to what a changing world wants, we continue to give a constantly changing world what it needs. A changeless Christ in word and sacraments like the Church has done for 2,000 years. If you're in Chippewa Falls and would like to have the forgiveness of sins, eternal life, and salvation that Jesus won on the cross and delivers today in His church, please join us poor, miserable sinners. For more information, visit cfzionlutheran.com.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran learning. ISSUESETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.